We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Is President Biden too old and too much in physical and mental decline to be president for another 4 years? That question once seemed impertinent, but it is now moving to the fore after he took another fall last week, this time at a Air Force Academy commencement speech. And suddenly, not just people on the political right, but Democrats who've been talking about it privately for some time are suddenly talking about it, at least on background, publicly, and it has broken out into a political debate of some sort. And the New York Times even weighed in with a long take, clearly with the help and approval of the White House, talking about the president's capacities. Fascinating to see. And I think it's worth focusing on this as what I think is going to be an increasing political debate in the coming year and a half. Welcome. I'm Paul Gigot here on Potomac Watch with my colleagues Manet Ukwe-Barua and Kyle Peterson. Welcome to you both. Let's listen to Ron DeSantis talk about the president's fall.
I think a lot of people saw he had a fall at this Air Force event. And, you know, I don't know if he sustained injuries, but I just want to say that we hope and wish Joe Biden a swift recovery from any injuries he may have sustained. But we also wish the United States of America a swift recovery from the injuries it has sustained because of Joe Biden and his policies.
Well, no political mercy there from Governor DeSantis. And of course, the president's capacities have been an issue on the political right among Republicans for some time. But the interesting news is that they're also breaking out among Democrats, the angst that they are discussing privately now breaking out somewhat into the public. Kyle, we wrote about the fall last week, talking about it in the context of the president's overall health and his desire to serve four more years from 2024 to 2028, which would bring him to age 86. Now, the complaint I've received most about our editorial is that this is a cheap shot, that every president falls sometimes, that it's no big deal. And it's, in fact, not really an issue because you can see he does have the ability to do the job. What do you make of that?
Well, it's true that every president has fallen in public or stumbled or something like that. I think there are a couple of differences here. Just to think of some of those examples, Gerald Ford famously slipped down the steps of Air Force One. He was mocked by Chevy Chase as a klutz on Saturday Night Live, despite being a formidable athlete, a former college football player. George W. Bush fell off a Segway once. Barack Obama tripped in 2012 getting on stage. But the first difference, I think, is that these are, first of all, young, vigorous presidents, and so Americans can afford to laugh. I don't think there will be any SNL bits about President Biden falling after this. And if you watch some of those previous events, some of them looked like hard falls, but Barack Obama trips on a step. It's one of those things where you put your hand down to catch yourself. And that's a huge distinction, too, where President Biden fell and he really fell. I mean, it looked like it hurt the way that I was viewing this clip.
Of course, he seemed to be fine.
He seemed to be fine. Yes, he was helped up. But we also know from the president's doctor, the notes that his doctor has released starting in 2021 after his physical then, that his gait is stiffer and less fluid, is what the doctor's note said. This had to do with osteoarthritic changes of his spine, according to the doctor's note, and he had been prescribed custom orthotics to optimize foot biomechanics. And so it's not as if this is a 45-year-old president missing a step. This is an 80-year-old who wants to serve until he's 86. And there are aides that who are worried about this. And what happens if you get right before the eve of the 2024 election and President Biden falls again and breaks a hip or has a serious injury? I think Democrats need to think about that.
Well, and quite beyond just the election possibilities, which are real, as you say, the question is, could he govern for four more years? Is that actually a realistic proposition? Manet, I don't know where you come out on this. I think it's fascinating to see that right on cue after the fall issue, the fall debate took place, the president's trip and fall, The New York Times comes out with a big, long take on the president's health and the degree to which this is an issue. A couple of things strike me about the piece. One is, clearly it had the cooperation of White House aides, lots of quotes about how, man, the president's really on it. You know, he surprises us because he outworks us. He asks penetrating, salient questions as much as he ever did. He reads his briefing books at 8:30 at night, something we knew Donald Trump never did. And so that was striking. I mean, the White House is really working hard to try to counter any sense that the president has diminished capacities. But the other thing is, in the piece, was the reporting on the angst the Democrats have about the president. And they're worried very much that the president's abilities and age could be an issue in the election that hurts him. And a la Kyle's point, and maybe even would help versus Donald Trump, who, of course, is soon going to be 77 himself.
Absolutely. I could not agree more about the fascinating nature of the New York Times piece that came out recently on Biden's age as a document of how his administration is thinking about his age, and also where the broader press and the liberal establishment are thinking about it. It is very clear that it was a managed and balanced piece. It had a lot of testimony about Biden's reduced schedule compared with some of his predecessors, but like you said, it almost was in completely equal parts giving anecdotes about how sharp and surprisingly with it he happens to be in certain episodes. And so it's very clear that both the Times and most likely the White House were very intent on making sure to present this as an even-handed account of Biden's facilities. And I think that stands in stark contrast to similar pieces that came out about President Trump during his administration, where every few months you would have long essay with several background sources talking about how disorganized he was behind the scenes. Those definitely were not balanced with anecdotes about how sharp and surprisingly with it he could be. So a very, very different approach being taken here. I do think that it's interesting to think about how liberals broadly and how the press are mulling over Biden's age as a potential liability in terms of governance and also in terms of his re-election prospects. I think it's worth remembering that just a few months ago, before the 2022 midterms, there was a similar wave of press about how Biden was maybe not up to the job of governing. And that was also coming from what usually would be very friendly sources to Democrats. And I think the reason for that was they expected to lose the Senate, Democrats, in the midterm elections, and they wanted to prepare to blame that defeat on Biden's personal inadequacy as opposed to Democrats' policies and their message to the country. But because Democrats were able to keep the Senate in that election, and also, frankly, because it now looks more likely that Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee in 2024, I think Democrats have shifted actually a little bit. They're open, I think, to a potential challenger to Joe Biden, but I think that they're not trying to shuffle him off stage quite as aggressively as they were a few months ago.
Whoa. Okay, I mean, I got to take you on that. You think they're open to a challenger to Joe Biden at this stage? I mean, RFK Jr. and Marianne Williamson are not exactly, how shall I say, top flight challengers?
I couldn't agree more with that, although it is fascinating to see how well RFK Jr. in particular is polling and shows the desire for an alternative. But what I mean is that I think a lot of establishment Democrats would be very, very happy for Gavin Newsom from California or Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan to throw their hat in the ring, or at least to prepare to get in if Joe Biden really shows himself to be a liability to the party going down the stretch. I do think that there's a certain cost to that in terms of showing the disorganization within the party, but it does seem as if a lot of Democrats know that Biden's age is a liability and would be happy to potentially have someone else step in and be ready to take on that nomination.
Well, nobody has stepped forward so far from that mainstream Democratic establishment, so they're going with Biden so far. But I think the fear is that when they look at the polling, the Democrats, and what they see is that something like 62% or over 60% of Democrats say they would prefer that Biden not run for a second term. This is not a personal attack. They are grateful for what he has done for the party and the policy successes as they would define them, but they just worry about another 4 years. And Democrats look at that and say, What happens if you get to the election? And first of all, Republicans might not nominate Donald Trump. So if they nominate a 44-year-old Ron DeSantis or a 57-year-old Tim Scott or somebody, then the age contrast will be a notable argument in favor, I think, of the Republican candidate. And even if it's Donald Trump, Trump would not be able to use the age issue nearly as much. But you run the risk of some mishap, a fall. Remember Hillary Clinton in, I think, September, October of 2016 took a bad fall. And that became a couple of days story about her. So you know, the press corps probably wouldn't cover it very well, but the voters will get their own say about that, Kyle.
Yeah, the poll that I was looking at recently was the Washington Post ABC figures recently, and Americans were asked whether Biden is in good enough physical health to serve effectively. 62% said no. Asked if he has the mental sharpness to serve effectively, 63% say no. So that is nearly two-thirds of the American public.
Those are extraordinary numbers, Kyle.
Right. And imagine what those numbers would look like if we have another fall or something next summer, you know, after the Democratic convention, when it becomes very hard for Democrats to replace him on the ticket if they decide they need to pull the emergency lever. And the thing about this New York Times story that struck me was they're trying to do this balanced on some days he's lucid and on some days he has more problems. And they talk about how he was woken up at 3 a.m. when there was a missile that struck Poland that may have been Russian. And then the next paragraph is about how on Take Your Child to Work Day, he was having trouble listing his grandchildren. He was asked the last country he visited and the name of his favorite movie and drew a blank. And I think a lot of voters look at that and say, this is not a job where you can have good days and bad days like that.
Well, but I can't remember certain movies either, Kyle. I mean,
my response here is like, thank goodness that the missile didn't hit Poland on Take Your Child to Work Day when he was having trouble talking about his grandchildren. And so I think this is an underrated vulnerability for Democrats. And the problem seems to be a collective action one where they like President Biden, they like what he's done, but somebody needs to move first. Somebody needs to stick their neck out to do the challenge.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more on the age issue with Joe Biden and the Democrats, and maybe Donald Trump when we come back.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Don't forget, you can reach the latest episode of Potomac Watch anytime. Just ask your smart speaker. Play the Opinion Potomac Watch podcast. That is, play the Opinion Potomac Watch podcast.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with Kyle Peterson and Manet Ukwe-Barua, and we're talking about the age issue with President Biden coming to the fore here with some new urgency. And Kyle, you made an interesting point about the collective action problem for Democrats. Nobody wants to be the first mover to challenge President Biden, even though they might see that there's a window here for them to do it or an opening for them to do it. Manet, RFK Jr. and Marianne Williamson still doing probably between 25% and 30% in the polls, which suggests, I think that's not because they think, geez, I'm going to vote for Marianne Williamson. It's because they're proxies for somebody else other than this president. But RFK Jr. could do some damage to President Biden, say, in the New Hampshire primary. Remember, the Democrats have basically eliminated Iowa, the Iowa caucus, as a factor. So the first voting test in the primaries will be New Hampshire. And then the other issue, which gets to the collective action point, is Kamala Harris, the vice president, because her approval rating in a poll I saw last week is only 37%. That's lower than President Biden's, which is sort of 41, 42, I think, in the same poll. And the Democrats, I think, are worried that if President Biden would voluntarily withdraw from the campaign, they might be stuck with the nomination of Kamala Harris. Now, I'm not sure of that. I think that a lot of other people would jump into the race. But if he withdraws late, say a year from now, or in February after a jolt, say, in the New Hampshire primary, that would put Harris in a much stronger position than the others.
Yeah, absolutely. I think on that first point about a potential Democratic primary, Biden certainly would be very weakened by facing any kind of well-organized opponent. Right now, as you have said, we have RFK Jr. and Marianne Williamson. RFK Jr. certainly has the edge in terms of name recognition, and coming from the Kennedy clan, he also is sort of adorned by a certain amount of seriousness, despite the fact that he does say kind of off-the-reservation things now and then. But he could chip away at Biden's support, embarrassingly expose Biden's lack of consolidated support among the Democratic primary base. And so I think that that's something that, as we get closer to the beginning of the primaries, the White House is going to be working behind the scenes to really try to avert, to make sure that the potential list of challengers doesn't expand, and that the ones that we have, that their campaigns remain marginal and without much support. Otherwise, it will subject Joe Biden to a long and damaging process. With regard to Democrats' plan B in the event that Biden is forced to withdraw from the campaign at a late stage, I do think that a lot of the potential challengers, and again, I mentioned Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer as two of the likely ones, are on the one hand very, very careful about not signaling that they're actively preparing. They don't want to suggest that there's disunity within the campaign or that they're being opportunists wishing ill to President Biden and his health. But I do think that they and others probably do have some sense of what the game plan would be, and that there probably would be a pretty open reckoning among Democrats about whether they're going to stand up Kamala Harris as the successor or whether they'd consider an alternative. My money would be with considering an alternative. Kamala Harris has shown herself to be a very ill-equipped vice president, very unpopular, and I think Democrats know that her odds in a general election campaign would be much weaker than some of the other potential candidates. And so you might see a lot of motion around consolidating around an alternative if that were to happen.
We had a visitor from a Democratic governor recently, I won't say whom because it was off the record, made the observation that J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, would be well equipped to jump in the race, maybe with a head start because of his personal fortune, be prepared to throw $200 million into the race at the early opportunity, which would certainly be an advantage over some of the others. But I suspect that Kamala Harris, as low as she is in the polls, particularly if Biden withdrew in early 2024, and I'm not saying he will, but if he did, I think she'd have a considerable advantage just by dint of being vice president. And she's done a lot of campaigning. She's got a lot of chits, Kyle. And the White House is now undertaking what I would call one of the more extraordinary political rehabilitation campaigns I've seen. I mean, they are bringing in the press to cover her. You know, she's strange new capacities. You know, she's really making a difference. They've taken her off the border beat, which was a loser. She's now on the abortion beat. She's talking about abortion at every chance she has. And that'll consolidate a lot of support among Democratic women. And that would not be easy to defeat. I don't know what you think, Kyle.
Yeah, I think she would have some advantages, but I think it would be a pretty open field. I would guess that you would get others up on that debate stage, and a lot would ride on how they performed, how their campaigns went. And then if there's any sort of effort by party grandees to consolidate the field, that was one of the more remarkable moments of the 2020 primary, when President Biden and Bernie Sanders were duking it out. And then in one day, Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg dropped out and basically endorsed Biden in unity because that's what they thought was best for the Democratic Party. That's what they thought had the best chance of defeating President Trump. And it's possible you could get a moment like that, too, where funders, donors, party brokers decide that Kamala Harris is not going to be the ticket to defeat President Trump, for example, if Republicans look likely to nominate him and they settle on somebody else. And at moments, the Democratic Party seems able to solve the collective action problem in a way that I think the Republican Party struggles to. That doesn't mean they necessarily will this time around, but it has happened before. And you have to wonder whether there are some of those party brokers that are whispering into the White House's ears right now, especially after this fall, that we need to have a talk with Joe.
Well, that will be fascinating to see. I mean, I think that that is a possibility, that kind of reckoning later this year. Of course, the president wants and his aides want to project the image of competent governance, governance in control for as long as possible. But I don't think this is a done deal in terms of his running for re-election. We've talked about the politics a lot here, but I think on the merits, Manet, I mean, I have met every president in office or afterwards since Nixon, And it's a very hard job. You know, you worry, I worry just for the country of having a president who is 82, he'll be 82. If he wins a second term, having to serve for 4 years, and he's not going to have it any easier in office, and notwithstanding the White House attempts to give him an easy schedule. He rarely has events after 4 p.m., for example. He comes in kind of late in the day, 9:30 for a president to start. Trump also started late, but I'm not so sure that Joe Biden wants to be compared to the work habits of Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump was a night owl and stayed up all night, made phone calls at 1, 2 in the morning to people. But he's also going to be aging, and I worry about him and the job as well. Never mind the other things about Trump, but just strange things happen. You can decline fast. As you get older, and people age differently, but as you get older, the chances of something going wrong increase enormously.
Of course, and I think that all of those harmful effects of Biden's age are apparent both in stories like the Times piece, but also to the naked eye for anyone who is regularly watching the news and sees him performing in public. It's very clear that he is not as plugged in as previous presidents. And during the general course of governing, that means a lot of decisions are being made by his staff, and particularly Ron Klain, followed by Jeff Zients, probably have had a lot more influence on making policy decisions than chiefs of staff normally would, because Biden just does not have the breadth of attention to focus on all the issues that the president is in charge of the way that a lot of his predecessors have been. The biggest liability, as you said, is in those crisis moments when the president has to react and act as commander-in-chief of our armed forces and talk to world leaders, in part because those are sudden episodes that you can't completely prepare for, and in part because there are certain decisions that the president himself has to make. He's going to be in the Situation Room with his staff. There's no way for him to completely delegate those decisions to his staff in those moments. He has to be sharp and he has to be alert. Thankfully, I don't know if there's a clear episode where Biden's incapacity has led to a blunder in one of those situations, but it's certainly possible. And there's definitely no lack of challenges around the world that could cause a moment like that. But I do think that you're right that President Trump also, you know, has some of the same concerns. He was not quite as losing his faculties clearly as Biden has been in his term. But President Trump definitely has slowed down since he was younger, definitely made blunders in public. And I think voters ask the same questions. But I do think that we live in such a politically polarized time that when it comes to a general election, people are just going to revert to supporting their side. The opportunity really isn't a primary for a younger candidate to make the case that I'm better suited. But when it comes to a general election, I think people will say, yes, the age is a problem, but supporting this person is much more important because we can't possibly give the reins of power to the other side. And so that really means that the opportunity to shuffle either of these guys off stage is going to come during the primary cycle.
All right. Thank you. You get the last word, Manet. Thanks, Kyle. Thanks, Manet. Thanks, y'all, for listening. We'll be back, as we are every day, here on Potomac Watch. And this week, we've got Chris Christie and Mike Pence getting into the presidential race, and we'll talk about that in the days to come. Thanks for listening.